Roadways can define the places where we live. And in many cities, large and small, new road projects can cut through the city's core, sometimes taking out entire neighborhoods. That was the case with the Santa Monica Freeway in California, I-94 in Chicago, and 8 Mile Road in Detroit. It's also the case in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, 35 miles southeast of Nashville. But now, an effort is underway to undo one highway decision from the 1950s that altered the landscape and divided the city. Tony Gonzalez from Here and Now contributor WPLN reports.
The Dixie Highway in Murfreesboro is locally known as Broad Street. It's 5 lanes wide and few dare to walk across it. But on a recent walking tour, a gaggle of city planners and historians uncomfortably gave it a try.
Yeah, we're going to experience the challenge of connection.
Yeah.
Right here.
Firsthand, trying to cross the street.
Right now, this is the probably single pedestrian crossway that exists across Broad Street. It's here on Church.
They laugh, but this roadway is a barrier that Murfreesboro officials now see as the enemy. It cuts off the bustling downtown square from an area known as the Historic Bottoms. On the other side in the Bottoms, says Assistant City Manager Jennifer Moody, are warehouses, light industry, and several vacant lots.
We think it's an area that's ripe for redevelopment, and it's an area that probably would not as quickly develop on its own. So we're interested to see how public investments could encourage redevelopment faster than it would have otherwise happened.
The city is considering new infrastructure, allowing taller buildings up to 6 stories and the addition of a pedestrian bridge, all to spur private investment. The thing is, this isn't the first time the government has taken an interest in the Bottoms. Back in 1952, it was so-called Urban Renewal Federal Funds that brought the new highway through town, straight through this section. A similar project in nearby Nashville also cut through neighborhoods. To understand the impact on the community that lived here, Murfreesboro tapped local historian John Lodell. He's an expert on early African-American settlements after the Civil War.
You know, a lot of these interstates and major highways went through and cleared out slums, and predominantly African-American slums. And you see that in every major city in America.
The Bottoms was originally home to poor industrial laborers. Houses were side by side with a rail line. Lodell shows where cotton gins and sawmills once stood.
From what I'm told, the business got worse and worse, so to speak. You got into more of the saloons, gambling kind of areas coming down off the square as you got into the Bottoms.
The reputation was so rough that one funeral home worker told Lodell that he'd parked the hearse there on Friday nights just waiting for a body. Renters stayed in cramped quarters, which were flooded by a nearby creek after almost every rainfall. It can still be a little uncomfortable to talk about.
Just growing up there, you just can imagine without electricity, running water, you know, what life could have been like down there. Very impoverished.
Few who lived in the Bottoms are alive today, but in 2002, Lodell recorded a handful of oral histories.
They were poor, poorer than we were.
That's the late Aaron Wade Jr., an African-American whose family lived on the edges of the neighborhood.
They called them the Bottom, in the Bottoms. They lived in the Bottoms. It was a caste system in a fashion. I mean, we didn't associate with them.
Every spring, it would flood. And they'd have to move them out in boats and whatever. Family members would kind of like take them in.
Nancy Vaughn, now an author, grew up during World War II and remembers well water, an outhouse, and a kerosene stove for heat.
We didn't have a bed warmer, so I'd have to wrap up in a blanket and then run as fast as I could to get back to the back and jump in the bed because it was so cold during the winter months. But those are things that you put up with.
When the road came in, about 40 families were relocated to public housing in another part of town. Eventually, the city hall complex, a fire station, and the water department would all be built on land once home to African Americans. The Broad Street Project has a complicated legacy, says state historian Carol Van West.
It destroyed a lot of landscape and sort of divided the city. But then it did bring, you know, it did work. It brought new business into the city in a major way. So it's that sort of push-pull of urban renewal at the time.
Van West says the earnest belief was that Bottoms residents were getting an upgrade, although they weren't given much choice. Nobody lives there anymore, but there's been 9 months of public meetings about the future of the Bottoms. Kevin Gunther, an urban planner, says the city can evolve carefully.
We want to understand what happened in the past and the history of this because there's some important things there. moving forward, we see huge opportunities. Planners, landscape architects, engineers, we think of connecting physical spaces. I think part of what we're doing is connecting the cultural understanding.
City officials expect to vote soon on plans for the Bottoms and then go about funding those improvements. For Here and Now, I'm Tony Gonzalez in Nashville.